Yes, yes, yes. Beautiful. Wow. So good, everyone. Pastor Tom and the whole team's done such a wonderful job. Let's give them a big hand. Amen. Stay standing for the reading of the word from Matthew 28, verses 1 through 6. And this end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto them, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said." Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God, for speaking to our hearts through music and through the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for doors of utterance this morning in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Out of the dark, out of that dark tomb walked Jesus, the light of the world, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Heaven's hope and hell's dread walked out of that tomb that day. Death was defeated, hell was incarcerated, and the grave was made empty. So I want to speak to you this morning about the three P's of resurrection. Number one, we're going to talk about the proof. Number two, we're going to talk about the promise. And then number three, we're going to talk about the power of his resurrection. You know, Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said this, For what I have received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the word of God. And so we understand that the very foundation of Christianity is founded upon this event. And then Paul lists a few witnesses in verse 5. It says, "And that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep." Verse 7. "Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles." You know, Jesus showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days and speaking to them of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. We also know that Jesus met with Mary Magdalene at the tomb. There was a group of women that he met with on the same morning. How about the two guys on the road to Emmaus? Oh man, I tell you, he was out there. Multiple meetings took place with the disciples over 40 days. What a powerful, powerful thing. I was listening to a friend of mine preach the other day, and I want to share with you a couple things that he said in his message a year or two ago. He says, historians estimate that at the time in the first century, Jerusalem on the average had about 100,000 people. At Passover, because it was a pilgrimage ceremony where people would come in to celebrate, the population swelled to about 1 million people. When news got that Jesus came out of the tomb and that the tomb was empty, all of those people very well could have came to witness, praise God, what they saw and that the Savior was not there. Don't you know that they went home all over the world to share the good news of Jesus Christ? The tomb, he said, the empty tomb speaks loudly. But it's not just the woman who saw the empty tomb. It's not just the disciples. It's not just the city of Jerusalem. But I too, Brenda and I, have been to the garden tomb. And we can tell you, he is not there. We can tell you that he is alive. Alive, alive forevermore. There's an old saying, I want to quote it to you, that the stone was rolled away, not so Jesus could get out, It was rolled away so the rest of us could get in. Amen. So that we could get in and so that we could testify of the fact that the tomb is empty. Aren't you glad that he filled your empty heart with his goodness? When you open up your heart to receive Jesus Christ, thank God the resurrection power came into you, and now you're full of life. You're full of the goodness of God. Now let's look at the promise. The promise of the resurrection is this, is that one day Jesus will resurrect you. How many of you know he's coming again? He is coming again. And so resurrection then is a future event that we look forward to with a great expectation. You see, what Jesus did in his past speaks volumes about what he will do in our future. And if you look in the Word of God, you will see scripture after scripture that promises your future, our future resurrection. For example, in 1 Corinthians 6:14, it says, "And God raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his own power." Do you believe it? And so your resurrection, our future resurrection, is based on his past resurrection. Someone said that this way, he is the first fruits, or he is the prototype for our future. And I want you to know that your future is bright. Your future is bright. Paul, writing to the church of Philippi, said this in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. "But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we eagerly are waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies, and he will change them into glorious bodies just like his own." There's a glorified body waiting for you. There's a glorified body waiting for me. I'm not going to need these glasses in glory. You're not going to need that cane in glory. You're not going to need a lot of things that you need down here on this earth when we all get to heaven. Amen. We're going to receive glorified bodies. Oh, glory to God. And I tell you what, that makes me want to shout. And so the promise is this, that death is not the end of a believer. It is just a transition. And for those of you that have loved ones in glory, you have not lost them. You know exactly where they are. I'm going to say it again. You know exactly where they are. And there's coming a time when the family in heaven and the family in earth is going to be reunited. You know, Peaches and Herb sang a song years ago, "Reunited, and it feels so good." Well, they couldn't even consider or even tap into how it's going to feel for you and me when we are reunited with our loved ones, when we are reunited with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the family in heaven and earth coming together. That's something to look forward to. We eagerly look forward to, with great expectation, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the proof of his resurrection is something that actually happened. It's a real event. And the promise of the resurrection is eternal. It's one that we look forward to. But the question that we want to answer today is this. What about the present? What about the present? I got a question for you today. Does Jesus and his resurrection have any influence on the life of a believer today? Thank God it does. How many of you have been touched by his resurrection power in your life? I mean, you had a problem. You didn't know what to do. You didn't know what you were going to do. But oh, thank God, you turned the problem over to the great Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he turned that problem into the power of God. And now, glory to God, you have been set free because of the goodness of God. Amen. From Tony Cook's book, the book called Lift, let me read this to you. He says, imagine a person living in between two massive power plants, one 10 miles to the east and the other 10 miles to the west. How sad it would be for someone not to be tapped into that vast amount of energy flowing from those two sources of power. With the proper connection, that person could light his or her home, bring heat and cooling and so forth. He said this, we're living between two great power sources, Jesus' resurrection and our yet to be realized bodily resurrection. And I love how he said this. He said, while these are past and future, there is still resurrection power for you to live from every day of your life. Amen. And so resurrection power offers us the hope of a powerful life. Billy Graham said this. He said, before the resurrection of Christ, the Holy Spirit came upon individuals only on certain occasions for special tasks. But now, after the resurrection, Christ through the Holy Spirit dwells in the heart of every believer to give us supernatural power in our everyday lives. How many of you know that Jesus was not raised so that we could merely have an annual holiday? He was raised from the dead so that you could have power every day, on a Monday morning, on a rainy day, on a sunny day, on a snowy day, on a day where you feel a little down. Resurrection power, if you will get connected into it, will lift you, it will energize you, it will cause your life to be transformed and changed by the very power of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, from the NLT, it says this. Paul's praying, I also pray that you will understand the incredible, incomparable greatness of God's power for those who believe him. And then he goes on to say, this is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. I submit to you this morning that the resurrection of Christ is the greatest display of power in the history of the universe. You know, if we had time today, we won't take time to look at the Amplified version. But the Amplified gives it a little bit more definition when he talks about the exceeding greatness of his power. Some of the words that is used in the Amplified, the immeasurable, the unlimited, the surpassing greatness of his power in and for you who believe. So say it with me real strong. The immeasurable, the unlimited, and the surpassing greatness of his power is mine because I believe it and I receive it. You know, we've been praying a lot about the gifts of the Spirit recently. We're just ending our 21 days of prayer. How many of you have enjoyed the 21 days of prayer? I think I'll extend it to 365. Because really, that's what we ought to be doing. You know, the Bible talks about praying at all times. Amen? And would you not agree that there's just a whole lot of stuff that needs to be prayed about? How about the safety of our schools? How about the safety of our ports? I mean, you look what happened the other day in Baltimore, Maryland. That big ship ran into that bridge. Well, you and I have authority in the San Francisco Bay Area. I'm going to prophesy that one more time. I said, you and I have authority in the San Francisco Bay Area. I believe with all of my heart what happens here lies on the shoulders of the body of Christ. You and I can be men and women that are given to prayer and see the immeasurable, the unlimited greatness of his power released in the state of California. Come on, somebody. How about this? Released in Oakland. Released in San Jose. Released in San Francisco. Released all over this state. Glory to God. The Golden State. We could say it this way, the glory state, the power state, where Jesus is Lord, where Jesus is alive, where good things happen in this state. in this county, in this church, and all the churches in the Bay Area. We're believing God for miracles. If you need a miracle today, I want to introduce you to the great miracle worker. He is actually the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is your God, and He don't change. Amen. If you need healing in your body, the healer is in the house. I said the healer is in the house, and the healer is still making house calls. He's here in this place to minister to you. He's here in this place to raise you up. You know what? He raises the dead. He can raise a dead pocketbook. He can raise a dead career. He can raise a dead limb. He can raise a dead dream. He can raise a dead person and make them alive unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Shout it with me. He is a miracle worker. And He's an on-time God. And I submit to you this morning that right now is your day of salvation. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. Why put off to tomorrow what you can receive today? Now is the day of your deliverance. Now is the day of your healing. Now is the day of your freedom. Somebody shout, right now is the day of my freedom. Woo, glory to God. So, it's immeasurable. It's unlimited. It's exceedingly great. You know what that says to me? That says to me, there is no power shortage. I said, there is no power shortage. Why did He need to use such tremendous power to raise Christ from the dead? Number one, because there was tremendous resistance. They're having a party down there. Thought they had the Son of God there for good. But oh, had they known it. They could not. They could not know it. But oh, had they known it, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. There was great resistance there. Number two, because Jesus was not just overcoming mortality. When God raised Jesus from the dead, listen to me, He released enough power to undo everything Satan had done in Adam. He released enough power to recreate your spirit, to heal your body, to change your mind, to set you free from habits, to set you free from any and every demonic force that would come against you. Friends, I just came by to tell you, you've got authority in the name of Jesus. It's like Sabrina saying, it's the name which is above every name. Come on, let me tell you about my Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. If that don't prime your pump, the well is done gone dry. Oh, glory to God. Shout it with me. Jesus is alive. And Jesus is Lord. Here's a revelation that I want you to get. Lord, help us to see this. From the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 17, Paul writing to the church at Rome said this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation." Amen? Amen. That's the wrong scripture, but I think it might be verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Now notice the rest of that verse. To everyone that believes. So it's our responsibility to believe the gospel, right? It's our responsibility to believe in His proof and His promise and His power. Amen. It's toward you who believe. Unto salvation. Now notice this. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now I saw something recently that really ministered to me, and that is this. That the gospel is the power of God. Listen very carefully. The same power that was in the event is in the message. The same power that was in the event is in the word of His power. Oh, glory to God. So what this means is this. When you start meditating on the Word of God, you look at the blood covenant, You look at who you are in Christ. You look at where you are in Christ and what you can do in Christ and what Christ has done for you. The resurrection power that's on the inside of you and in the Word of God will explode in your life. And it will make tremendous power available to every area of your life. Say with me, God's Word in me contains the same power that the event was. Let me tell you this now. The devil is just afraid of the message as he was the event. That's why he done fools with you so much. That's why he comes immediately to steal the word out of your heart. Because he knows that word is full of power. He knows that word will transform you. He knows that word will change you. And so the object of his game is to steal the word of God from you and take it out of you before you become extremely dangerous to him. Are you listening to me? He has never, ever gotten over the event. He remembers in Colossians 2:15 where it says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, Jesus made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, in the cross." One translation says, "He disarmed them." Another translation says, "He exposed them. He shattered them. He emptied them, and he defeated them." Still another translation says, "He put them to naught." So when Jesus defeated the principalities and powers, he gained for you and I an eternal redemption. We're not about to be redeemed. We are the redeemed. And incidentally, what did the redeemed of the Lord do? Let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Let him say so. Let him declare so. Let him prophesy so. Lift your right hand up toward heaven and say, "Thank God I've been redeemed." I know I said this a moment ago, but the enemy has never, ever gotten over it. Never. As a matter of fact, he trembles every time you confess that Jesus is Lord. Don't you know he was trembling when that music was going up and worship to the Lord? He trembles every time you say that Jesus is my champion. That Jesus is my victor. That Jesus is the undefeated, undisputed, heavyweight champion of the universe. When you say that he's Lord of all, he's Lord of my life, he's Lord over my household, he's Lord over California, when you confess his lordship, it literally causes him to run from you as in terror. And that's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He did all of this on your account and left it for you on you in your account. And so here's the good news. We don't have to wait for his power. We don't have prayer meetings where we come together and say, "Oh God, send the power. Send the power. Oh Jesus, I don't know what we're going to do without your power. Oh Lord, send the power." No, that's a prayer of unbelief. Why? Because the power of God is everywhere present. We're not talking about him sending the power. We're talking about us activating the power that he's already sent. Amen. Amen. Activating his power, which is toward you when you believe it. Amen. When you speak it. When you act on it. Amen. Amen. Now in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, I want you to read this verse with me. I don't have a long word today, but I've got a powerful word by the grace of God. Look at Romans 8:11. Ready, read. "But if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you..." Look at your neighbor and say, "He dwells in you." Now notice what the result of this is. "He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. I like that, don't you? He can raise a dead marriage. He can raise a dead friendship. He can raise a dead career, a dead pocketbook. He can raise a dead dream. And so this morning, maybe you're just on the edge of giving up. Don't do it. God brought some of you here today to hear, don't give up, look up. He brought some of you others today to hear this word, don't quit, but be quickened. Don't quit, but be quickened. You see, folks, what looks like a dead end is prime for a resurrection power. Oh, amen. How many of you have seen His resurrection power come on the scene in your life in your midnight hour? Is He not faithful? Has He not been good to you? I mean, when your cupboards were bare, glory to God, has He not been faithful to see to it that He's met all of your needs? And all of a sudden, your cupboards were full. Amen? I'm going to ask one more time. How many of you have experienced His resurrection power in your life? Woo, glory. We could turn this into a testimony meeting. And we could sing at the end of it, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my soul. He saved. Oh, I'm going to praise His name. Yeah. Come help me praise Him. Look what the Lord has done. Hey. Somebody says, well, Pastor, what's up with that? You don't have a very good voice. But by the time it got from Hayward, by the time it got to Hayward into glory, it sounded really good. And don't you be talking about my voice. Your voice ain't all that either. Woo, look what the Lord has done. I'm going to ask one more time. How many of you have experienced His resurrection power in your life? Glory to God. Did He bring you through COVID?
Yes.
Has He brought you through cancer?
Yes.
Is He bringing you through cancer?
Yes.
Has He brought you through bad diagnosis?
Yes.
Oh, thank God. Whose report will you believe? We're going to believe the report of the Lord. Amen. Oh, glory to God. We could testify. We could testify in this house of things that God has done. Oh, man. The victory has been won. The power of God and the power of His resurrection is transformational. It'll change your life right now for the better. As I was flying, and this is our closing, as I was flying recently to meet Brenda down in Oklahoma, she went early to Winter Bible Seminar to spend a birthday party with her sister Beverly, who turned 75 years old. And I flew down there on a Monday. I think she left like on a Thursday. But when I got on that little regional jet from Dallas to Tulsa, the Spirit of the Lord began to talk to me. And one of the words that he brought up to me was the word alive. Everyone say alive.
Alive.
Now Jesus said in Revelation 1:18, and I want you to notice that. Revelation 1:18, let's read it together. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death. Let's just keep that up there right now. I'm He that liveth. I was dead, but behold, I am alive. Buddha can't say that. Matter of fact, Buddha has no voice. Muhammad cannot say that. Only Jesus can say that. Only one, the one that went in to Satan's own backyard and grabbed the keys of hell, death, and the grave and said, I'm alive. I'm alive. Forevermore. And I like that. He gave himself an amen. But I got to thinking about that. He was dead. But now, he's alive. And here's what Jesus said in John 10:10 to each and every one of us. I have come now that you might have life. The same life. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Because he is alive, now you and I are alive. Because as he is, somebody help a preacher out. Because as he is, so are we. As he is alive forevermore, I got news for you. You ain't gonna die. Your mortal body may die, but your human spirit is never gonna die. You're gonna live. Woo! Glory to God. I said, you're gonna live forevermore. Alive. Alive. And here's what I believe the revelation the Lord gave me. It's found in Romans 6 and verse 11. I want you to notice this. And let's read this together. Romans 6:11. Let's read. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's keep that up there. Say this with me. Dead unto sin,
dead to sin.
But alive.
Alive.
Not just dead to sin, but we're alive. We're alive unto God. And then the Spirit of the Lord began to talk to me about the two laws in the Word of God in Romans 8:2. Romans 8:2 says this, the law of the Spirit of life, that's what law we're under, has made you free or set you free from what? The law of sin and death. Oh, glory to God. So when it says we're dead to sin, we're not only dead to sin and sin itself, but we are dead to the law of sin and death. Amen. And what I have in my notes is this. We're dead indeed to sin and death and everything that it entails. I don't know about you, but I'm dead to depression. That's under the law of sin and death. I'm dead to anxiety. I'm dead. Whew, here's a good one. I'm dead to debt. I'm dead to disease. We are dead to the curse of the law. For there is a higher law that we live under. It is the law of lift. It is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that lifts us, that elevates us above the law of sin and death. Oh, glory to God. See, in aeronautics, the law of lift supersedes the law of gravity. And in this world, there is this law of sin and death that tries to hold us down and hold us back and tether us to this natural world in which we live. Oh, but because of his resurrection power, there's another law. There's a higher law. It's the law of resurrection power that lifts you up from anything and everything that would try to hold you back. Somebody shout amen. You're alive. You're alive. And not only are we dead to sin, but we're alive with a purpose. I said we're alive with a purpose. We are alive with a vision. Did you know that you've come into the kingdom for such a time as this? Did you know that he thought so much of you and trusted you so much that he kept you alive for his final acts? He kept you alive. You've come into the kingdom of God for such a time as this. So we're alive in the last days. And I believe with all my heart, the best days are the last days. Say it with me. My heart is alive.
My heart is alive.
My vision is alive.
My vision is alive.
We sing an old song, because he lives. I can face tomorrow. And I believe the Lord gave this to me, and it's a question for you. Because he lives, how will you face your tomorrows? How will you face your tomorrows? The answer should be this. I will face my tomorrows with great expectation. I will face my tomorrows with great joy and great gratitude. I will, by faith, smile at my future. So Jesus did not come so that you and I could live a religious life, but so that we could live a resurrection life. Included in this resurrection power is the power to start over if you've failed. And the power to keep going when you feel like giving up. It's the power to change your life when nothing seems to work. And so the question is, in closing, how do I get the full benefit of what Jesus did for me? Number one, accept his proof. Accept his proof. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Number two, believe his promise. Brenda quoted it beautifully, John 3:16. Believe his promise that he's coming soon for you and I. And then number three, we need to count on his power. We need to count on his power. Put your hand over your heart and say, thank you, Lord, for the proof of your resurrection. Thank you for the promise of your resurrection. And thank you, sir, for the power of your resurrection. So today, I open up my heart and I thank you for all that you have done. As was quoted earlier, now is your day of salvation, and now is your day of deliverance.